today is Family Day. And we haven't emphasized as much Family Day as we did last year with the big bouncy slide and everything that we did last year. Although, you know, the year's not over. We still have a chance to get that big bouncy slide out here and let the kids slide down that thing for a couple hours and, you know, burn off energy. But we do have Vacation Bible School tonight. And so I thought maybe as we're leading into Vacation Bible School, Family Day would be an emphasis in our teaching time, in our preaching time. And so that's why we're in Joshua 24. I didn't just randomly, as we are going, you know, in my, you know, as I'm flipping through the Bible and just sort of put my hand there and say, okay, Joshua 24, I really feel like God has something for the family this morning out of Joshua 24. So let me have prayer with you one more time, and we'll get into this message. Father, I pray this morning that your blessings would be upon the preaching of your word. And God, we need to hear from you, and I need your help this morning. I pray for a filling of your spirit, an emptying of myself, that I would be a vessel of honor for your glory. And we love you with all of our heart, in Jesus' name, amen. When the War of Independence eventually started in 1775, George Washington led various groups of militia in this particular battle, and against, you know, many odds, really vanquished the foe. It took a long time, many years, matter of fact, to do this, but in the process of defeating the British military, George Washington became really an icon for the country at that time. And during that time, really, it was unanimous that they wanted George Washington, the colonies wanted George Washington to be the first president of the United States. And so reluctantly, he decided to go with the presidency, but only because it was a unanimous decision. If it wasn't a unanimous decision, he probably wouldn't have taken the presidency, which is amazing, the integrity of this man. While the president, he, during that time, led the country, and the country at that time had divided into two very independent parties. And the party system has still held true to today. It was something that George Washington was not in favor of, and he wasn't excited about it, but he was about the only one that could keep things together in the United States at the time. It was such a division. And so, with the division still holding place after 4 years, George Washington decided that he would become the president for the second term. When it came to the third term, they wanted him to be the president again, but he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he went back to his house there in Mount Vernon. And he was a very wealthy man, and he was very interested in politics there, but lived his quiet life. It wasn't that much longer whenever there was a group of colonists who sort of revolted against the government and tried to set up a monarchy. I don't know if you remember this, it's part of our history, but they wanted George Washington to be the king. Whenever they approached him about being the king of the United States of America, he was avid and very against this concept. Very, very against the concept of being the king of the United States of America. What a man of integrity that we can look back to and say that he had such an opportunity, and he had such a really, you know, a door that flew wide open for him to take this authority. But in place of himself, he decided was more important than himself was the freedom of this great country. And that's what he said. I want the United States to be a free country. And so he turned down this monarch position. Well, really, that's a similar situation with Joshua. Joshua was a great leader. He led the nation of Israel from bondage, well, really, from the wilderness, into the promised land, leading them from a place of wandering into a place of milk and honey. And the great nation of Israel, God's people, had been blessed by God. And we're going to see that here in just a few minutes. But Joshua, like our first president, George Washington, was not the king. And he would not make himself to be the king. It was said that George Washington was the father of our country. Well, that's what Joshua was. Really, for the nation of Israel at this time, leading them into the promised land, he was the father of Israel. And a father figure. Not a father in respect or in a replacement of God. God was the king. God was the father of Israel from a spiritual perspective. But Joshua was the man that Israel looked to for leadership. They looked to him and would have easily made him the king, but he would not have it because he recognized God as the king and wanted God to be the ruler of the nation. And you see that not only in their campaigns as they defeated the Canaan land and took over in the battles through the power of God. Not only did you see that in the testimony of Joshua, but also that he wanted God to be the king of the nation, but also that he wanted God to be the king of the family. Yeah. In his final address, which is what we have here in chapter 24, Joshua addresses the nation of Israel as tribes. They're not a monarchy. They're not really brought together under a single head other than God. But he individually brought all of the tribes together to a place called Shechem. Why Shechem? Shechem is where God made the promise initially in Genesis 12 to Abraham that God would give them the promised land. And that was in Shechem whenever God promised Abraham that they would have the promised land. So it was an appropriate place to meet together. As we saw in verse number 1, he gathered all of Israel together at Shechem. Now what's he doing in this chapter? What's he doing? Why has he gathered Israel together? Because he has a challenge for them. As a nation, corporately, and as individuals, as families. His challenge to them is to renew their commitments to God. That's why they met in Shechem. Shechem is whenever God made a covenant with Abraham. And now it's time to renew that covenant. Do you know this morning we need a renewal in our families? We need a renewal in our homes. There's nobody who is exempt from this. We all need renewal in our homes this morning. Everybody needs to evaluate our home situation this morning. Everyone who is here not only needs to evaluate, but also determine to identify the areas that need to be renewed in our relationship and our commitments to God. It's absolutely necessary that we do that this morning. Now, renewing implies a couple things, okay? If you're going to renew something, it means you already had it in your life. If you're going to renew a subscription, you are already subscribed. So a renewal in our commitments to God means we've already made decisions for God. And now we've gone back on our decisions. We've already made commitments for God. And now we've gone back on our commitments. And now there's a time of renewal that needs to take place today. One renewal could be our Bible reading. That we have made a decision, I'm going to read my Bible every single day, but now, today, is a time of renewal because we've slidden back in our commitments. Maybe in Bible reading or prayer time. Commitments to ministry, commitments to church, commitments to the things of God. This morning in our homes, it's time to evaluate and renew our commitments. Now, the primary concern of this decision of renewal in our homes is for the leaders of the home. Men of the home. That's why he calls the leaders together in verse 1. Look what it says. It says, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. That would be everybody, by the way. Not just the leaders, everybody. And he called the elders of Israel for their heads, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. So Joshua called the leadership of Israel together. He called them to Shechem. Why? For this renewal of the covenant. God had delivered them. God had been with them. God had blessed them. And they had been committed in a covenant with God, and now it's time that they meet together and renew this covenant. This is an important thing for Joshua as the leader of the nation of Israel, the man who has led them into the promised land. Now he's passing off the scene. He's older. He's not going to be on the scene anymore, and he wants to address this very important issue that we renew the covenant with God who has brought us into this promised land. It says that he brought the elders together, the heads, the judges, the officers, Why would he do this? Because he's bringing together the leadership. If we're going to have renewal in our homes this morning, God's going to have to get a hold of the hearts of the leadership of the homes. My heart breaks for the ladies of the home who want to see God do a marvelous work and break through and do an amazing change and transformation in the home, but dad won't get on board, or dad won't let God get a hold of it. Not that God can't use a godly lady. We know that's true. God can use a godly lady to influence the leadership of the home. But we should never neglect the fact that God has set up a chain of authority in the home. And God has placed the man to be the authority in the home. That's in Peter. We can see that clearly. Ephesians chapter 6, we see that clearly. And so until God gets a hold of the man of the home, we'll never see. Now, I want you to get this, because I don't mean this to be a source of discouragement this morning for some. I don't want it to be. But until God gets a hold of the man of the home, you'll not have the renewal of commitment like God wants you to have. Because it has to go through the leadership. It has to. Does that mean God can't work in your husband's heart if he is not interested in renewal of commitment? Does that mean that God can't use you as an individual who possibly isn't the leadership of the home? No, it doesn't mean that. Because God, in our text, Joshua, in our text, called together all of Israel. And everybody plays a part. Everybody takes part in a renewal. Everybody takes part in a renewal of commitment, not just the leadership. How frustrating is it, dads, whenever we have an idea, and buddy, it's a good one, and then we tell our wife about it, and she's like, you know. Everybody has to be on board if we're going to make a change in the house, everybody. My pastor in St. Joe said, if mama ain't happy, then ain't nobody happy. That's true, isn't it? How frustrating is it and difficult is it in the home whenever our children are rebellious or they're not interested in the things of God? And so individually, we all need to be a part of this process, of this change that needs to happen in the home. We all need to be on board and involved. What does that mean this morning for you? It means you need to be prepared to hear from God this morning. Maybe you stayed up late last night, I don't know. Some of us, you know, when you hit that certain age, I'm not calling out just the older folks this morning, but it might be, there's a big age bracket here, I think. But you hit that certain point where you have a hard time sleeping all night, you know. But then whenever it's church time, that is the easiest time to sleep, you know, for some reason. I don't know why that is, but this morning, God has something for you. He has something for you. And you as an individual have to decide that I'm going to be prepared to hear what God has for me. If change is going to happen in the home, everybody has to be on board. Did you get that? Everybody in the home has to get on this boat together, or it's not going to work out. Yeah. Now Joshua understands that. It starts with the leadership. But everybody needs to be prepared to hear from God. And that's what he said in the last part of verse 1. He says, and they presented themselves before God. That is, the leadership and all of Israel. Well, how do you know all of Israel? Because in verse number 2, it says, and Joshua said unto who? All the people, everybody. So that is, everybody got addressed by Joshua. Everybody needed this. And we all need it this morning. We have to understand that if we're going to have real commitment in our families this morning, then we got to remember something. We got to remember God has been awful good to us. He has been awful good to us. And if we will this morning be willing to be honest, we would admit that He has been way too good to us. He's been way better to us than we deserve. We say, well, wait a second, I don't know if I can identify with that preacher. What about the song we just heard a minute ago? If He did nothing else for us, you know, He's already said He loved us when He died on that cross. He gave Himself that we might have the ability to have salvation through Jesus Christ. You might have turmoil in your life. You might have struggles in your life. But God is good to you to give us the gospel, to give us the ability to have salvation in Jesus Christ. And He is good to us. He's delivered us. He's delivered us. He delivered Israel. And we saw verses 2 through 13 where Joshua reminded them that God delivered you. He says he brought you out of bondage in our verses this morning. Joshua reminded them that God brought them out of bondage. Remember whenever they were captured and brought into captivity in Egypt? And taskmasters were placed over them? And they had to serve under these taskmasters, but then God sent a man named Moses and his brother Aaron and delivered the children of Israel. But not only did he deliver them from bondage, he also protected them from their enemies. Because whenever they were leaving and escaping from Egypt, Pharaoh got a hard heart again. Amazing. All of that time he gets a hard heart and it's destroyed his entire country. And now he gets a hard heart once again. He pursues after Israel, who's on foot. I mean, you can't get any slower than how Israel was moving. They get to the Red Sea and they're trapped. They're barricaded. And Moses steps out and the Red Sea parts. And he leads the children of Israel across the Red Sea on dry ground. Isn't that amazing how God protected Israel? Whenever the Pharaoh and his army went into the water into the dry ground to pursue after Israel, God brought the waters back on Egypt and destroyed them. And God protected them. He fought their battles. Whenever they were in the wilderness, there was a time where conflict took place. When they went into the promised land, there was conflict that took place and God fought their battles. And God fights our battles. He provided food for them. We saw that in verse 13. Look what it says. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwelt in them, of the vineyards and the oliveyards which ye planted not, do ye eat. God took care of them and their possessions and their belongings. He was good to them. Now, this morning I want you to understand that if we're going to have help in the home, we have to understand that God has been good to us. Because really, if you don't remember all of the times in your life, if you don't look back and see in your life how God has delivered you, how God has brought you from one thing to the next thing, how God has fought for you, how God has protected you, if you can't look back and see that, there's one of two things that's wrong. Okay? Number one, you might not be saved this morning, which means you might need to make a decision unto salvation this morning and receive Christ, because you're not delivered. And He's made preparations for you to have salvation in Christ, but because you haven't been delivered from your sins, you are still condemned. And it's hard for you to understand that God has been so good to you. Well, I can't understand how God has been so good to me. It's because you're not delivered yet. You're blinded. And you cannot see. Or it could be this morning that our hearts are hard. And we are consumed with our things. And we haven't served God. And we're not close to Him. And we're wrapped up in our lives. We're wrapped up in the things that we do. We're wrapped up in the things that we are involved with. And we're so wrapped up in those things that we can't look back and see how God has been so good to us. This morning, it starts right there. If we're going to have renewal in our home, we have to, from a historical standpoint, look back and see God has been so good to me. He's delivered me. I remember whenever I was lost. I remember that. I remember whenever I was 11 years old and 10 years old. I remember the sin that I did. You say, well, wait a minute, you're 10, 11 years old. Yeah, I remember what I did when I was that age. And I've told stories to you before. I was a thief. I was engaged in all kinds of vile things that my mom and dad had no idea that I was involved with. Got exposed to wickedness that I would never utter in this place. And I did that shamelessly. And I involved myself and I hid that stuff from my family. And I involved myself with those things on a consistent basis. And I was 13 years old and God spoke to my heart and He saved my soul and He changed me. And it's been a process from that time until now. Have I made mistakes? Oh yeah, I've made mistakes. But He's grown me and He delivers me again and time again. He's removed from me sin over and over and over again in my life. And I see in my life now from where I was 13 years old when God saved me to where I am today, it's amazing. I mean, not only is it amazing that I'm a pastor and that I'm here today, but the road God took me from that time when I was saved to where I am today. You know, you're blessed this morning. You say, well, wait a second, how am I blessed? You're sitting in a gospel-preaching church. You're blessed. You might not realize how blessed you are, but you're blessed. Because you're hearing the Word of God. And it's not a message that's just from me. We're talking about the Word of God from a holy, eternal God, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. We're blessed. And if you think about where you have been in life, all the way in the journey of life, to now on July the 24th, 2016, whatever time it is, 11:40, sitting in a gospel-preaching Baptist church, you're blessed. And you need to look back in the past and see what God has done in your life to bring you to where you are today. You know why you need to do that? Because we need to remember how good God is to us so that we can renew that once again, our commitment to Him. It's hard to renew a commitment if we don't remember how good He is and how good it is to be close to Him and right with Him. Yeah. I've done this. Whenever I was studying for this, God was working in my heart. And I really struggled with this. I don't know why this week. I just struggled, really struggled. And maybe it's because I've gotten away from Matthew and I'm comfortable there because we're in our study in Matthew. And so to break new ground really in the book of Joshua, and I had to do a lot of history work, and just my brain is overwhelmed this week with trying to figure out what's happening in Israel and in the book of Joshua and the mind and the heart of Joshua. And so as I'm digging deep, and God is beginning to dig deep into my heart, and He's unearthing once again the memories of how blessed I have been in my life to bring me to where I am today so that I would be reminded not only that He's good to us, but things have come into my life and have replaced God. Did you know that's what our tendency is? Did you know that it's our tendency to allow things into our life that replace God? That's what Israel did. And Joshua, with the heart of a father, has addressed this nation like a father addressing his son. I have four boys, and we've already had some father-son conversations. And we're going to have a lot more. You know why father-son conversations are important? Because we're able to address issues. We're able to renew commitments. And that's what Joshua is doing here. Israel has allowed things to replace God into their families. And now Joshua sees the future. The future is bleak. The future is destruction. The future is not good whenever we allow things into our life to replace God. Like, for instance, yard work. What are you talking about? Yeah, we're not going to go to church today. We're going to do yard work. Or work in general. You know what? We need to have a family day. We're not going to go to church today. Or how about sleep? I'm just going to sleep today. Some of us have issues with that anyway. I'm going to tell on Brother Chad because he's not here. Okay? He can defend himself later tonight, right? But Brother Chad sleeps like not just a rock. Okay, we're talking about like Mount Everest rock. Like, I've never seen somebody sleep like him. I could throw a child on him. He's not waking up. That brick, not waking up. It's amazing. I mean, a couple weeks ago, his alarm started going off at midnight, which I have no idea why. You know, I guess the electricity goes off, and when it comes back on, it's at midnight. I don't know. But the alarm started going off at midnight, and it woke me up from downstairs, okay? And I hear this thing going on. I'm like, dude, are you going to turn your alarm off? I went up to his room, and I turned his alarm off, and he still didn't wake up. I threw something at him. He still didn't wake up. And so, anyway. If that's your problem, then I understand why you missed church because of sleep, okay? You just couldn't wake up, right? But, you know, a lot of times we tend to allow things like this to replace God in our life. And these types of things don't just overwhelm us. Listen, friend, these things creep into our life. It doesn't happen really fast. It happens slow. Let me give another example. You came to church and God worked in your heart and you made a commitment to Him. You said, I am going to be faithful to God. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to read my Bible and pray every day, and I'm going to have a ministry. And you even signed up. And you did it for like 2 months. But then something came up and you missed. But then you got right back in. You did it for a month. And then something came up and you missed. And now it's every other week. Do we see what happens as we continue down this road? This is what Joshua sees. This is exactly what Israel has done. They have allowed things into their life that are replacing God. Things into their life. Replacing God in their life. And this is a big problem in the family. So we need a renewal. We need to decide once again who we're going to serve. And that's what he does in verse 14. Look what it says. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the what? The gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served on, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. So Joshua told them that they should fear God and serve him only. Well, that's pretty exclusive, wouldn't you say? Did you know that you shouldn't serve anything but God? Only. Exclusive worship. That's all. He is the only one who deserves to be the king of your life. That's what Joshua would have said. Joshua didn't say, make me the king. Make me the authority in your life. You just do what I say. No. He said, make God the king of your life. And he's the only one who deserves that authority. Serve him and serve him only. He said, serve him in verse 14 in sincerity and in truth. That's an interesting way to say that. In sincerity. And in truth, faithfully serve him. Truthfully serve him. So how do we do this? How do we renew our commitments? Well, he said there's two ways you do it. And this morning, there's two ways you renew the commitment in your home. And if you would like to renew commitment to God in your home, then you got to do these two things. And if you're not interested, like Joshua said in verse number 15, look what it says, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, it might be that this is your attitude this morning. It may be. You know, I want to serve God, but I don't really want to serve Him exclusively. Then this is a dilemma. And number one, Joshua says, if you want real renewal, then you're going to have to put away the other gods. So for you and I this morning to make commitments, or rather to renew commitments in our home, we're going to have to remove the things that are replacing God. They're going to have to be removed. You know, that can be painful sometimes. Because sometimes the stuff that God wants us to remove from our homes, we actually paid a lot of money for it. It's true. I've done that. It might be this morning that you know your home needs a revival, a renewal, and commitment to God. And now here's what he's saying. He said, listen, you've let stuff come into your home, and it's replaced God. It has become more important to you than God. And now it's time for you to take these other gods that have replaced me and remove them. Oh man, that actually sounds a really hard thing to do. Did you know that you can't serve two masters? Did you know that if you don't remove it, then God's going to leave? Because he's not going to hang around. That's what he's saying here. They cannot coexist. It might be that we need to remove these things this morning that are in our life that are replacing God, like gods in Israel replaced the true living God. Yeah. I want to say this morning that our relationship with God, our relationship with God is not like this suit right here. Okay? Now, I don't make a big deal about wearing suits to church, okay? I wear a suit to church, but you've never heard me say you should dress this way when you go to church, okay? So I'm not saying that. But your life for God, your family, your home, is not like wearing a suit, okay? Where, you know, it sits in the closet, but then on Sundays, we're going to church. And so we put God on like we put a suit on. I got God in my life. Yep. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do the church thing because I got God in my life. See? And then you get home. Woo! I hate wearing a suit, don't you? Whew. Goes in the closet. And God goes out the window. You see, God will not let you do that. You can think you're doing that, but when you put that suit on, God, he isn't there. He's not with you. Because you don't wear God like a suit. He says, listen, I'm either your king or I'm not with you. He says, I demand exclusive service from you in your home. And if you've allowed something into your home that has replaced God, you need to get it out. That's what he's saying. Get the gods out of your house. So number one, you want to renew the commitment that you and your family have made to God? Some stuff might need to go. That's number one. It might be that some stuff needs to go. Can I say this morning that I've done this? Can I say that I was putting it off? And you know what happens when you put it off? We've done this before, right? You know what happens when you put it off? You keep putting it off. And then you don't do it. And because it's still there, you go back to it whenever all of that feeling wore off, right? And I thought, God, I know. He spoke to me again. I'm studying. It's just heavy on my heart, and I have a few things that's crept into my home. And God spoke to me about it yesterday. He spoke to me again about it yesterday. And I got it out, and I set it over on the thing. Okay, I'll do that in a little bit. And this morning, I still hadn't done it. Oh, man, look what I'm doing here. So this morning, the things that God spoke to me about, I threw them in the trash. And they're gone. Took them to the dumpster. We can't put these things off. They have to happen. Number one, remove all the things that have replaced God. So he said to Israel, if you're going to have renewal of commitment, then you're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. You have to choose. Verse number 15, look what he says. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, look what he says. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served on that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So number two, you have to decide that you and your home are going to serve God. Did you see that in verse 15? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So number one, you got to get all that stuff that's replaced God out of your home. And number two, you have to decide, we're going to serve God in his house. We are going to serve God. We're going to be committed to God in our home. Did you know that this means anybody who lives in your home? Not just you. He says, as for me and my what? and my house. Listen, and that's why it's such an important thing that leaders of the home get a hold of this. Because, yeah, dads, husbands, authorities of the home, you have to decide, I'm going to renew my commitment to God. I'm going to remove some stuff from my life. And I am going to be committed to serving God in my life. But it's in my house. That means anybody who lives in your home needs to live by your rules. And anybody who lives in your home needs to serve your God. You say, wait a second, how can I make my kids serve my God? Listen, it's more than just a put your foot down type thing. There's a relationship here. A relationship between the father, the husband, and his family, that whenever he has made a commitment to God and he's removed stuff from his life, that it's filtered down into his family and he's influenced his family to make the same decisions for God. It is a problem whenever we've made decisions to live for God and the rest of our family is just a whacked out mess. And they live in our house. See, as for me and my home, what happens whenever our kids leave the house? You can't control them, right? They're not in your home anymore. But while they're in your home, they can be faithful to church. They can be faithful to do the things as you have led in the home. That's what Joshua says. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, what about the consequences? What happens if we don't do this? Verse 20, look what it says. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. He's been good to us, but just because God has been good to us doesn't mean that we're guaranteed that God's going to continue to be good to us if we decide we're not going to serve him, or we have no interest in him at all. This morning, it might be that we need to renew our commitments to him as a family. It might be time for us to recognize that we need a renewal in our home. And a couple questions I think we need to ask and really be honest about it. In sincerity and truth, there might be some things in our home that are replacing God. That fishing or sports or work or our possessions or anything that is more important to us than our relationship with God. So what does God want us to do? What does he want you to do? Renew. Identify what needs to be removed and determine that in our home we're going to serve God. And if something needs to be removed, then we're going to do it. This is such a hard thing, I feel, in our life to make these kind of changes. And this morning, I don't want you to feel for sure. I feel like I've been really, for some reason, struggled this morning. But I'm not upset. I just simply this morning want you to know that unless you're willing to this morning renew the commitment that you have with God as a family, then we are setting our families up really for struggles and trials, for hard times, you know. And this morning, I really think that we need renewal in our homes, a renewal of our commitments. And that would include the decision that we're going to make to remove some things and to be totally committed to God. And that's hard, but I want to encourage you to do that. George Washington selected two men on his cabinet. One was Thomas Jefferson, the other one was Alexander Hamilton. Two great men. You know what was a characteristic of both of these men? That they held to the United States of America the principles and the longevity and the strength of this great country more important than their own self-interest. That's who George Washington selected on his cabinet. You know what I say this morning? Families need leaders. Families need individuals who have the same type of integrity that would hold God more important than any self-interest. Anything that has captivated our heart and replaced God in our life, that we would see God as more important than that. This morning I want to encourage you to evaluate our homes one more time. And it might be that we need to decide that we're going to renew our commitment to Him. Father, this morning, thank You for Your word and how You work in our hearts. And Lord, we need Your help. We need Your help to renew, and we need Your help to be committed to You. And Lord, we've identified a few things. I think it might be this morning that some of Your people this morning need to identify some needs. And Lord, some things in their life that have replaced You. And I pray, God, for Your strength in them to be willing to stand up and do what they need to do for Your glory. We love You, and we'll give You glory for that, how You've worked, in Jesus' name.